Galatians chapter 5. Hey. Galatians chapter 5. I hope you have your Bible this morning. We're continuing in our series on the spiritual life of the Christian. Galatians chapter 5, first of all. There in your New Testament, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. We're going to chapter 6 in a few minutes, but Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. We're talking about the Christian's spiritual walk. One of the first differences that you'll see between America and Ireland is here, everybody walks. You ever notice that? You may take it for granted in an evening, even if it's drizzly or, you know, even threatening to rain, people are still out walking. But nobody walks in America. Beautiful parks, just gorgeous, and nobody in them. And it was embarrassing. Everybody's driving their SUVs, you know, and all of these big cars when they should be out walking. But there's something more important here. Walking physically is not near as important as walking spiritually. I want to talk about our spiritual walk. Verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. You got a problem with the flesh? Here you go. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. One of them overwhelms the other, amen? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit, listen to that word, lust. I mean, that's an intense desire to have. Well, the flesh has an intense desire to have some things, and they're the opposite of what the Spirit intensely desires to have. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. They don't blend, amen? They're contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, we're going through a series of studies on walking in the Spirit. Instead of walking or living in the flesh, when we live and we think according to our old habits and our old ways, the Christian leads a double life. We not only are physical, we are spiritual beings. Even when you were unsaved, you had a part of you that was spiritual. Now, it was dead, but it was spiritual. And that's why a lot of people, they turn to meditation, they turn to lots of different religions. We were made to worship. The problem is, before we got saved, we didn't know what His name was. We didn't know who it was that we were to worship or how. Now, we've looked at, as far as our previous studies, we've looked at having a spiritual mindset, which is thinking about things from God's viewpoint. But you know, God looks at the heart, doesn't He? We look on the face, we look on the appearance, but God looking on the heart. And we've looked at having a spiritual way of thinking. We've learned about having a spiritual fight, not having a wrestling with flesh and blood, not wrestling with your kids, not wrestling and fighting with your mate or with your boss or your co-workers, not even wrestling with yourself, but instead wrestling with spiritual wickedness in high places, with demons and the devil himself. We learned about having a spiritual rest. I mean, what a concept. The fact that God gives peace and rest to His people. And it's available to us. Most don't have access to it, don't know how to access to it. That spiritual rest can make up for a lot of physical unrest. Amen? It's called Christ's rest. And then we've learned about a spiritual reason for everything we do. Amen? Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all for the Lord Jesus. And that's the best reason to do anything. You say, why go to church? For Jesus. Amen. Man, why read your Bible? For Him. Why do anything? Now, the benefit is, it pleases Him and He blesses us back. It's just an incredible relationship we have with the Lord, but He is our reason for everything we do. Now this morning, I want to go and I want to develop a thought on our spiritual strength that we have. Spiritual strength. If you'll take your Bible, go to Ephesians now and go to the right, and chapter 3 and verse 16. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. And I believe God's pretty rich. Amen?
Amen.
All right. according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might. Hear that word. And somebody's mighty. All right, listen to this. That you would be strengthened with might by His Spirit where? In the inner man. Now, you're looking at an outer man. You're looking at an outer shell. But I have an inner man. And that's where I really need strength, and that's where the Christian is supposed to be strong. Amen? It is a strength. We're talking about a strength that is not connected with our muscles, not connected with our money or with our abilities, not with our health, but with our inner man. It is a spiritual strength. The kind of things that we're talking about, the kind of strengths that every Christian needs is the ability to speak up in the midst of opposition. Be able to just say something against all obstacles. It is a strength that the Lord wants to give you to be able to support burdens. Hold, you can leave this and now go back to the left. Go back to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. It is a strength to speak. It is a strength to support. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, just a few pages back from Ephesians is Galatians. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Alright. Ye which are spiritual, restore that person who's been crushed, overtaken by a fault. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Hey, considering yourself, why? Lest thou also be tempted, that you also fall. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There is a strength that a Christian needs to be able to hold other people up. Amen? Not only carry their own burdens, but carry other people's burdens. There's a strength that we need to be able to stay faithful. Amen? It's a great thing that for somebody to come to church and learn the Bible. It's a great thing to get involved in soul winning. It's another strength to stay faithful at it. Amen? I know a lot of people who are what they call flash in the pans. They get started doing something. They get started reading their Bible. They get started singing in the choir. They get started handing out gospel tracts. But they need some supernatural strength to stay at it. Amen? To stay faithful. There's another strength that we need. And that's the strength to stay free from sin's power and its guilt. Amen? Who wants to get free from a sin only to become enslaved again and again and again to it? Amen? There's a strength that He wants to give us in the inner man that gives us the ability to not only get free, but stay free. Amen? And there's a strength also, you can immediately think of Paul and Silas in prison there in Philippi, and at midnight they had a strength to start singing. Amen? That's some strength. Amen? So we're talking about strengthening the inner man so we can do some of these things. Now next week I hope to preach on moving and removing mountains. Type of strength, and we'll talk more about these things, just giving you a taste. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and let's talk about the Christian spiritual strength. Father, I need you today. I thank you for bringing us back together again. Lord, it's always, always a blessing. We can't take it for granted that we have each other. We don't know. The rapture horn may blow. Lord, tomorrow is no guarantee for any one of us. We just need to make the most of today for you. We need to grow so that when tomorrow comes, we can be strong. We can be faithful. We can, Lord, do the impossible. The world constantly convinces us we're nothing. We're weak. You want to encourage us that with you, we are strong. Stronger than we think. I pray that you would encourage every believer especially. But also, Lord, I need you to convict somebody here this morning about their own relationship with you. That this doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen because of our religion, because of our praying, because of our beliefs. It happens because of Jesus in our life. A real person moving in, taking up residence, and taking over. And somebody may in this room need to get born again today. Lord, convict them of their sin and draw them to Calvary. Help them to realize the cross was for them and for their soul. I pray that they get born again and every Christian get on fire for you, Lord. Get excited about living a stronger life, being strengthened in the inner man. on the outer man, the Apostle Paul said, though our outward man perishes, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. Well, today, let it be a day of renewal. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Alright, the first thing I'm going to point out, that if you want to be strengthened in your man, it's going to begin by faith. It's going to begin by faith. The world says you need a high protein diet. You need to eat well, you need to sleep well, and all those things may be great. Your health is important to you, amen? But if you want to grow strong in the inner man, you're going to have to start by faith. Go to Romans chapter 5. You're in Galatians. Go back to the left. And keep going to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Got some scriptures to look at this morning. I really enjoyed this study. Romans chapter 5 verse 1, therefore, being justified, being made right with God, by what? By faith. You with me? Romans 5 1, I'm justified by faith. I now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. By whom also we have access. I have direct access to God, again, by what? By faith. All the way into the grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, I not only rejoice because of glory, but we glory in what's the next word? Right, when was the last time you were in trouble that you went, praise God? That's where you get strengthened with the inner man. When you want to just go, I give up. There is a rejoicing there, according to Romans chapter 3. We glory in our tribulations also, knowing that tribulation, hey, it's working patience in my life, and it goes on in a great thing. Go to Psalm 138. Psalms, middle of your Bible, Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Spiritual strength is a strength for my soul. Look at Psalm 138 and verse 3. In the day, here we are, Psalm 138 and verse 3. In the day when I cried, now is he strong there, yes or no? Not when you're crying. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength where? Not in my arm, not in my feet, but in my soul. This is the inner man. And what we're dealing with is when your soul is overwhelmed by life. When troubles come against you and just wipe you out like a JCB running over you. That's what you feel like. Hey, that's when you need strength in the inner man. That's when you need strength by soul. But it's going to come by what? By faith. It's going to have to come by the Lord. By faith. How much power is available to the Christian? Let me show. Go to Philippians now. Go to the right. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Going to get a little Bible study this morning. It's good for everybody. Philippians chapter 3. How much strength is available to the Christian by faith? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul, after 30 years of walking with the Lord, he probably has spent 30 years walking in religion, all the traditions of Judaism, and now, in all those years, you know what his prayer was? Verse 10, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him. He just wants to know him more, amen? But look at this, and the power of his what? Alright, you've got somebody, this is the picture here. Here is something that is dead. And the power of the resurrection gives life back to the dead. Amen. And Paul says, you know what I need? I need that power. Amen. Because there are plenty of times when you think it's over. You think it's dead. You think can't go any further. Amen. But there is a power that's available to your inner man that is called the power of the resurrection. That is available by faith. There's no secret incantation. There's no secret potion you take. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to these words. Some of the most hated words in the Bible by Christians. But it's true. Philippians 4 and 13, what does it say? I, quote it with me. Say it with me now. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. Now, He may not strengthen you in your hands. He may not even strengthen you in your brain. Amen? But He'll strengthen you in your heart. Amen? I'd much rather have somebody up here preaching from the heart than only preaching from the head. Amen? I'd rather somebody soul winning whose heart is burdened about souls going to hell and they're fumbling through their words than for somebody to have all the answers and not care a lick for somebody's soul. Amen? You understand? We need our strength to be in our soul. We need all the power we need to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in Philippians. Go back one page. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go right one page. Sorry. And I think we're Colossians 1. Just one page to the right. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Eileen enjoyed that mistake. Colossians chapter 1 verse 11. I'm back just one day and she already is grilling me on the fire. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. You go right ahead and laugh. I missed everybody. You guys are the best. Amen. And I really appreciate it. Brother Martin covering for me. Brother John. Brother Kevin the weeks before. Brother Tony. We have a special church. Amen. Woo! Even though Eileen does make fun of me. Colossians chapter 1 verse 11. Look what he says. Strengthen with how much might? That's a lot of might. Amen. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. He's got a lot. Under all patience and long suffering with, here's the best part, with joyfulness. Isn't that amazing? You know how much power is available to you? All the power you need. All the strength you need. God Himself, we're talking about, is our strength. Go to the left, go to Psalms again, back to the middle of your Bible. Psalm 46 and verse 1. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge, amen, and strength. So is he, when he says refuge, that's a place of safety, isn't it? He's talking about being our Savior there, isn't he? But a lot of times, we're glad for Him to save our soul, but are we depending on Him to strengthen our soul? He not only is my refuge, but He also is my what? Isn't that good? Amen. We forget that He not only died for my sins, but He also died for my sorrows. He's my song when I feel like crying. He's my strength when I'm weak. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I love that. You're not having to get His attention and get Him over near you. He's very present in time of trouble. Now, let me define what trusting means. Trusting means this. Oh, let me take it to Psalm 73, just since we're in there. Psalm 73 and verse 26. Psalm 73 and verse 26. Again, you should read the book of Psalms as David learns and he learns to rely on God's inner strength more than his outer strength. Psalm 73 verse 26. David crying out, "My flesh is my body, and my heart, what? Faileth. But God is the strength of my heart, and He's my portion forever. He's my gift. God is the gift I need. He's my strength when my heart and my flesh fail." Now, trusting. Trusting means waiting on God. That's what it means. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 14. While you're turning there, let me quote to you Isaiah 40:31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their what? Strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." But where do they get that strength? By waiting on the Lord. That's what trusting is all about. Trusting is, you have to wait when you're trusting. Amen? God doesn't instantly work like a genie. If you're going to trust God, if you're going to believe in God, if you're going to have faith, it means sometimes you got to wait. Amen? Look at Psalm 27 and verse 14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage." And here's your promise. "He shall strengthen thy heart." There it is again. My inner man. He shall strengthen thine heart. And he repeats himself, wait, I say, on the Lord. What's he saying? He's worth the wait. Amen? So, trusting means waiting on him. Hey, impatience is a weakness. If somebody's constantly impatient, then they're weak. I've got no respect for a man who comes in home and his wife's been, you know, what have you been doing all day, woman, you know? Where's my dinner, you know? He's a weak man. If he doesn't understand that it's a lot of work that it takes to take care of the kids, take care of the house, prepare the meals, and when some guy comes home and he's impatient, he's a wimp. Amen. Not appreciating the gift he's got in that woman and the gift that he's got and all of the things that God's given him in that home. Now, trusting means sometimes you got to wait. It's coming, amen? Amen. It's coming. Impatience is a weakness. Looking forward to God doing the best. That's trusting. It's just, you just, when you see nothing but disaster, but you look forward to God doing something great, that's faith. Look at Psalm 31. Just a page over, 31:24. Again, the repetition. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. It seems to be throughout the Psalms. Amen. All ye that hope in the Lord. Trusting means depending on God more than yourself or even more than your mate. That's trust. That's what it means to trust. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. To the right. Way to the right. In the New Testament. It's only available. Hey. Spiritual strength is only available when we are, let's fill in our blank, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, or chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. The Lord Jesus is speaking to Paul in a very rough time of his life. And he said unto me, Jesus speaking now, my grace, my help is sufficient for thee, for my strength, Jesus says, is made perfect in... Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities and my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here's a great truth. Spiritual strength is available only when we are, answer for me, when we're weak. Amen. You're self-sufficient. You're doing fine. Guess what? The power of Christ is not resting on you. Amen. That's a dangerous thing. Because you're guaranteed to fall. Your strength will wear out very quickly. It's only available when we are weak. It's not when God gives us strength, it is not for us to just lie around, sit on our Todd, do nothing, and laze around and enjoy going to heaven. No, it is strength for taking a stand for the Lord in this evil world. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. To the right, further. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I said 2 Corinthians. 2 Timothy, sorry. Chapter 4. And verse 16. Listen to these words. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. At my first answer, when I began to preach, no man stood with me. Amen. Everybody was afraid of me. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Don't hold them responsible. They didn't know any better. Notwithstanding, guess what? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Amen. Hey, when the Lord's strengthening you, it's so you can do something for Him. Amen. When the Lord invests His power, His might in your inner man, it's so you can do something for Him. That by me, He's like double quotes. He's like, by little old me, by insignificant me, Paul's saying, the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered even out of the mouth of the lion, because the Lord strengthened me. Amen. How often, let me ask you this, how often do you live just by faith? Where there's no way to write a check, when there's no credit card, when there's nobody to phone, when there's nobody to lean on, except God. How often do you live by faith? Whew. That's where the strength comes. Let me give you an illustration. A little boy was playing with his trucks in his backyard, those little, you know, the toy trucks and things. He was moving rocks and stones and was creating a road. He came across a large rock that was blocking the path. Well, using his toy bulldozer, he tried to push the rock out of the way, but it wouldn't budge. He rammed the bulldozer, and then he got a dump truck, and he smashed that into the rock at the same time, but nothing happened. Still using his imagination, he pretended to be a helicopter. So he hovered over the rock, and he dropped his arms down to scoop up the rock with his hands, but the rock was too large and it still wouldn't move. The boy suspended his creativity for a moment and just got about the business of getting that large rock out of the way. So he started to push it with his feet, and he bent down next to the rock. He shoved and shoved with all his might. Still, it was no use. The rock remained in place. The little boy sat down next to the rock and got upset. No matter what he did, he couldn't move that rock out of the way. Then the boy's father came to his side and asked him what was wrong. "Well, I can't move this rock out of my way," the boy sobbed. "Have you tried everything you can think of to move it?" the father asked. "Yes, I've tried everything," the son answered, "and I'm just not strong enough." "Well," the father replied, "you have not tried everything." "Oh, yes, I have," the son cried. Well, the father looked at his son and said, "You haven't used all of your power because you haven't asked me for help." And with that, the father reached down, picked up the large, immovable rock, and he tossed it aside out of the son's way. How many times have you tried to trudge through your life, stubbornly determined to make it on your own? And how many times have you overlooked the opportunity to tap into an uncommon power that God provides to us in Himself? And we forget to pray. Isn't that a shame? Huh? We're trying and we're shoving and nothing's moving. And we're giving up and we haven't tried everything. We forgot to do it by faith. Amen. God is our strength. Amen. Second thing. Spiritual strength comes by fellowship. Go to Acts chapter 18 now. Go back to the left. Go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 and verse 23, a very revealing verse. Paul is beginning his third missionary journey through Europe and through the Middle East. And watch what his main emphasis on this journey is. Acts chapter 18 and verse 23. And after that he had spent some time there, he departed. Sorry, I'll give you time. Find Acts 18:23. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, one after another, strengthening all the disciples. Where do you find disciples? In church. Look at Galatians chapter 6. We looked at it a little while ago, but look again. Acts, then comes Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then after that comes Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," he's talking to Christians, "ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of weakness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens." Hey, who's he speaking to? Christians. People who are in churches, amen? We need God. Would you agree with that? We just learned that. But did you know we need each other? We need our church meetings. Church, when it really is a church, is not some sterile safe haven for the sinless. Let that sink in for a minute. That's not what church is about. It is rather a hospital for the hurting, a lighthouse for the lost, a sanctuary for the broken, the wandering souls, a connected community of believers, common, ordinary people willing to share, carrying each other's pains, willing to carry each other's burdens, willing to represent the love of Christ to a helpless soul. That's what a church is, amen? Just being together as a group of followers of Jesus Christ gives us all the spiritual strengths that we will not have when we're alone. This is too many Christians are weak in giving up because they do not put a priority on getting together as Christians. Some of you have the same problems week after week after week, and yet you'll only come Sunday morning, and you look at me and say, what's my problem? I'll say, come Sunday night. Come Wednesday night, learn how to pray. Amen. Come and bring your burdens, we'll bear them with you. We get into small groups, you don't have to broadcast it to everybody, but you get in those small groups, you say, also, would you pray for this that's going on in my life? I guarantee you, there's somebody in this church who will help you carry your burden. And if you try to carry it yourself, it'll crush you. Amen? Ye which are spiritual, if you're spiritually minded, you'll be in church. You'll want to walk in the Spirit. You'll want to have somebody carrying that burden. And that's what we're here for. Amen? Don't miss getting under preaching and putting others before yourself. You say, well, I'm doing fine. Well, you're a liar. That's the truth. But maybe you are doing well. You know what? Maybe you need to be here for somebody else. Amen. I'm sick and tired of everybody saying, well, you know, I just don't get anything out of church. You know, I come Sunday morning and I get my fill. Well, you're a liar because you didn't get filled because you'll wear out within 3 hours. You'll need more. Amen? But if you are doing fine, if you're really doing fine, the reason why you come to church is to help someone else. It's to minister to somebody else. It's to carry somebody else's burdens. And there are plenty of them here. Amen? I could have you raise your hands and there'd probably be nobody in this room who'd say, I have no burdens. I have no troubles that I'm carrying. I think every one of us would raise our hand and say, please pray with me. Please help me. Amen. Amen. We get spiritual strength by being together. There is power in a Christian church, in Christian unity. We are stronger when we stand together than when we try to stand as individuals. The world puts that stupid idiot box called the television there in front of your room, and you don't know how to say hello to somebody. You don't know how to fellowship with them. You don't even know how to notice anything because of a flipping series of pictures on the television that numbs your brain. Amen. Amen. The best thing that ever happened is unplug that television. I was reading. There was a man and his wife, and they were watching television. They were watching somebody, some program on, these living wills where, you know, if you're in a vegetative state, you know, and you can ask somebody to pull the plug on you and let you die. And he looked at his wife and he said, honey, if I'm ever relying on a machine to give me any kind of life and you see me in a vegetative state, please pull the plug. Well, she reached back, she unplugged the television, amen? Best thing that ever happened to him. Amen. Because we don't realize how important it is just to be with another believer and edify them and encourage them and find out when you ask how you're doing, mean it.
Amen.
Amen. If any place it ought to mean something, it ought to be here. Amen. We need each other. He gives us... Listen, when we get together, it gives us a confidence and a sense of power when we know that we aren't alone. Amen? When we know that we've got other people, maybe more faithful people in our corner praying for us and ready to encourage us. Look at 1 Corinthians. You're in Galatians. Go back to the left. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23. First Corinthians 1 and verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Best message ever. Unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block, isn't it? Trips them up. And unto the Greeks, it's only foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:24 now. But unto them which are called, talking about the saved, both Jews and Greeks, what is it now? Christ is the power of God and He's the wisdom of God. 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is what? Yeah, the world looks and says, man, what a waste of time. Why didn't you go to church on Saturday night when it was raining so Sunday you can have going and just go shopping? They think we're foolish. No, we've got the power, amen. Preaching of the cross, to them that are saved, it is the power of God. It's the strength we need. Do not believe the devil's lie that you only need to dabble in church. That may be just the reason why you keep falling into secret sins. You have those fights at home. You have spiritual defeats in your life. Because you're missing out on the fellowship. If you just sort of just come in and go, I pity you. I pity you. Because you're missing the reason why we're here. I'm trying to preach, yes, and there's power in hearing the truth. But there's power in the person right next to you. Just when you just start being real, and they start being real, and you start leaning on one another, there's a strength. Third thing, spiritual strength comes by feasting. I love this word. Go to Psalm 119, middle of your Bible again, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 28. When I'm speaking of feasting, I'm talking about on the Bible. Amen. You know, in America, they have these places called all you can eat. Smorgasbords. I went one night, let's see, when was it? I went Saturday night. I arrived on Friday, and on Saturday night I went on all you can eat place, and I mean, whew, but that's all I can handle. Wow. You wouldn't believe how much is there. And it was do you want to know how much it cost me? About 7 euros. Did that make you mad or what? Wow. Psalm 119. Now that you're mad at me, let's get back to the Bible. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul, now look, this is the inner man. He's melting for heaviness. What's the principle? There is a burden on him, and he's just crumbling under that weight. But look at the rest of it. He prays. He says, Lord, strengthen thou me according to thy word. When you need strength, if I need spirit, if I need physical strength, I need to eat right, correct? Yes. I need to eat right foods. I need to have large quantities of right foods. You think of these guys who are into the heavyweight boxing and wrestling matches, they eat a lot before they get into that thing. You ever seen these sumo wrestlers? These guys will eat 4 full roasted chickens before they stand up there and play. Amen. They eat that protein. Listen, if you are going through battles and the devil seems to be winning, it's time to get back into the book. Amen. Because he'll strengthen you according to his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hey, the Bible is the only food that will feed the soul. Go take your Bible, turn to Job now. You're in Psalms, go back to the left. Just one book and you'll hit Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23 and verse 12. Every other food that you may be feeding your soul, that television, your entertainment, your friends, your magazines, all of the books that you're reading, you know what they are? They're junk food. That's all they are. Amen. I know people who can devour a book a day, and they're demented. Their life's a mess. They have no peace. And it's serious. You get into this book, it fixes things. Look at Job 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back. I haven't rebelled. I haven't backslid from the commandment of God's lips. I have esteemed. That word means valued. I've treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. When was the last time you thought about reading your Bible instead of eating? That's pretty rare. But here, Job knew in the middle. And again, everyone who's writing these verses are not people who live in ivory towers. That's Job sitting on an ash heap. His kids are dead. His wife wants to die. His business, all of his money is gone. Everything's ruined. You know what he says? I'm still leaning on the book. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Because it's the only thing that feeds the soul. How's your daily Bible reading? I didn't ask you, did you bring your Bible today? I asked you, how is your daily Bible reading? We're some of the biggest hypocrites to believe this book, and yet there are probably plenty of people in this room who haven't read it all week. You know what? You don't have to answer to me. You do have to answer to God. You are only spiritually strengthened according to how much of this book you read, memorize, and meditate on and study. I tell you, you need to be reading 2 chapters a day minimum. There's no excuse why you shouldn't be reading 2 chapters a day. None. Maybe you're blind, okay, maybe that's an excuse. You know what you could do then? You could listen to it on a tape. Isn't God good? Amen. You ought to be reading 2 chapters a day, a minimum. Look, you're in Job. Go to the right now. Find Proverbs 24. Job, Psalms, Proverbs 24 and verse 5. Look at the strength that is available from this book. Proverbs 24 and verse 5. Then we're going to Ecclesiastes in just a moment after that. Proverbs 24 and verse 5. A wise man is strong. Now, he's not just dealing with the wisdom of the world. This is God's wisdom, amen? And a wise man, he's strong. When I worked for the telephone company, we had posters everywhere that said, "Work smarter, not harder." Now, you may laugh, but it makes sense. A lot of people are you know, they're working harder, working longer hours. It'd be nice to find a faster way to do it, easier and wiser, amen? That book gives you all the right shortcuts. Gives you all the right ways to do things so that you're not beating your head against the wall and wearing yourself out. A wise man is strong. Where's our verse? Verse 5. Yea, a man of knowledge, he increases strength. Now go to the next book, which is Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 19. Wisdom, God's wisdom, strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. These, the ones that are in the city, the ones that have conquered the city. But somebody who's stronger than 10 mighty men is a wise man in that book. A lot of you, I'm included, a lot of us, the struggles we match and we face, we wear out because we're doing it by our own wisdom. Amen. Amen. That's the wisdom, that's the strength that is available by feasting on the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to start, don't go up there. I'm going to ask you to commit yourself to reading 4 chapters a day for a month. I dare you. And from Texas, I'll say this, I double dog, dirty dog dare you to read 4 chapters a day, and in 1 month, before we hit Christmas, come back to me and tell me if your life is more miserable or better. I dare you. I'm going to check on you too. Because I guarantee you, man, it can't help but get better. Some of you, if I could bring up an x-ray machine to show the state of your soul looks like a prune, all shriveled up, dried up, almost dead. Because you're not feeding it. Amen? It's just dying. Third thing, spiritual strength comes from freedom. Now, go back to Job. All this stuff is so awesome right here in the middle of your Bible. You can't miss it. Job. Spiritual strength comes from freedom. Now what am I dealing with? Freedom from the dominance of sin. That's what I'm dealing with. Job chapter 17. Listen to these words. This is powerful. Job, the book of Job, chapter 17. When you found that, look in verse 9. The righteous also shall hold on his way. He'll stand on his way. And he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Amen. That's a powerful verse. Go to Proverbs. We'll explanify it here in a moment. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 29. The way of the Lord, there it is strength to the upright. If you're following His way, you're doing your own way, you're in trouble. But the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. talking about freedom from the dominance of sin in our lives. And there's something wonderful about being free from fear. Amen? You know, go to Acts. I got a lot of verses. I'm trying to decide on which ones to go to, which ones not. You're just going to have to bear with me. Bear one another's burdens. Amen? My burden is to get you guys stronger in the Lord, stronger in the inner man. Acts chapter 9 and verse 22. These aren't my words. This is the word of life, amen, I'm trying to give you. Acts chapter 9 and verse 22. I love the sound of pages flipping back and forth, amen. Just be good if you could find it, amen. Acts chapter 9 and verse 22. Here's your verse. But Saul increased the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Here's Saul, his name before he became the Apostle Paul, and he's conquered his fear. He's come out from the shadows of his Christianity, and he's dealing head on with people now. He's no longer afraid of what people think. As a matter of fact, this guy for the rest of his life, he's living on the edge. Sometimes he's having to be let out of the city in a basket. Sometimes he's having to swim his way back to shore because his boat has been shipwrecked. Sometimes he's been beaten. Sometimes he's been thrown to the lions. You know what he's doing? He's living strong. And there comes a time when you start living free from fear. And not afraid what people can do to you. What can man do unto me? Amen? Here's a verse, Acts 22. Paul strengthened when he stepped out and started doing something for God. Amen? Freedom from fear. Let me ask you to do this. Get a clear conscience. There's something wonderful about being free from guilt. It'll make you strong. Did you know sin only weakens you? Sin, when it is finished, listen to the verse, it brings forth death. Amen. You mess with sin, you're doing secret sins, you're playing around with things that you know are wrong, you know are going to sap the strength from your life, going to pull the plug on your sufficiency, and there you are playing with that thing, let me tell you. You know, it's just something wonderful about being free from it. And not just having a few days free, but you look back and you say, you know what, it was 6 months ago I got the victory over that sin, and I'm stronger now than I have ever been. Amen. And it comes because of no pride, it comes because the Lord delivered you. And you just stayed clean. You know what people do? We're creatures of habit. Well, I know I'm going to sin anyway, so I might as well get it over with. Wrong. How about getting to the place where you say, you know what, I'd like to know what it feels like to be stronger than I am now. I like to know what it feels like to go to bed with a clear conscience and wake up stronger instead of waking up weaker and worried and fearful. Nehemiah 8:10. You're in Acts. Go back to the middle. If you find Psalms, go back some more before Psalms and Job. You'll hit Nehemiah chapter 8. Stay with me. I've only got 15 more points. No, not really. Not at all. Stay with me. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Great verse, but I want to show you, maybe you've never seen it in this light. Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah is speaking to a crowd of people, and they're kind of discouraged. They're trying to do right. Listen to these words. Then said he unto them, go your way. You can go home now. Eat the fat, which means eat a lot of food. Drink the sweet. Send portions. Send gifts unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your what? Wow. Spiritual strength comes from freedom. And what we're talking about is when you please God. It's not my joy is my strength. What does it say? His joy is your strength. Real joy comes when you find out that God is thrilled with you. When God is pleased with you. Instead of pleasing yourself, instead of pleasing your friends, and instead of pleasing the devil, it sure would be nice to please God. Amen. the joy of the Lord is your strength. Go to Proverbs 17. Go to the right. Proverbs, right after Psalms again. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. You know this verse. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. There really ought to be only two hearts present here this morning. Only two kinds of hearts. The first kind of heart is the defeated, wore out, crushed heart. You're very welcome, amen. This is a church not for perfect people, not even for practically perfect people. For broken people, hurting people. But there ought to be a second heart, kind of heart that's here this morning. What does the verse say? A merry heart. See, we kind of find the middle road. I'm here. I'm not sad. But don't make me happy. No. You may have a broken heart. You may just be overwhelmed like David over and over in his Psalms. He says, when my heart is crushed within me. Amen. Be honest. But it's a good thing to get that thing merry. Amen. Look at the verse. The Bible says this, a merry heart doeth good like a what? Like a medicine. But a broken spirit, man, it drieth the bones. Amen. Real joy will overcome your physical weaknesses. There's something about you're sitting in there and you're at home and you're sick, or maybe you're in the hospital. And somebody comes to visit you and says, man, I heard you're in the hospital, just want to encourage you. And all of a sudden you find out they're encouraging you. And they're just saying, God's good, man. I'm in here right now, don't seem to be able to do anything. God's just got me stuck in a wilderness. But He and I are having a great time of fellowship. I've never had such time of prayer in my life. And I know and I'm trusting the Lord, He's going to get me back up. I'm going to serve Him once again. Man, you come out of there going, wow, they had more strength than I did. A merry heart will do it, amen. Now you get a merry heart when your life's clean. When you realize you're not in the hospital because of sin. You're in the hospital because, man, the devil just is against you. He's trying to pull you down, but you won't let him do it. Amen? Alright, real joy overcomes your physical weaknesses. Spiritual strength, let's go on to the next one. Oh, let me say this. If you're not... You have to be free from sin to experience the strength that God offers. Otherwise, you're running on your own steam and you'll quickly fail. If you're not getting free from sins, you will stay defeated, you will stay weak, and you'll stay broken under your burdens when you could be strong and helping carry other people's burdens. If I were you and I was struggling with sin in my life, I'd drop the sin for a month. And just see how strong you get without that dead weight in your life. Amen. Do without the computer for a month. Do without the television for a month. Just say to your friends who constantly keep pulling you down, just say, bye-bye, I'll see you in a month. And tell me if you're not stronger when you put some distance between that sin and your life. Amen. And just tell me if you're not stronger. Amen. You know, your strength will enable you so that when you're with your friends, you witness to them and you win them instead of constantly letting them win you. Fourthly, I think. Fourth or fifth way, I don't forget now. Spiritual strength comes by fasting. Let's quickly go to Mark chapter 9 and I'll just make a point on this. I could preach a whole message on it, but I'll just make the statement. Mark chapter 9 and verse 28. The disciples had attempted to heal a demon-possessed boy and they couldn't. Mark chapter 9 and verse 28. This is the opposite of the world, what the world teaches. Mark chapter 9 and verse 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing. This kind can be conquered by nothing but by prayer and fasting. It's a Christian secret weapon. Now it's the opposite of what the world teaches. The world teaches eat loads of food, exercise, healthy eating. Jesus says there are some times when you just need to spend time instead of eating. You should spend it in open, honest, and dependent prayer with God. Amen. That's what fasting is. Maybe it'll take one day. Maybe it'll take a week. Now, if I fasted for a week, I would disappear. Amen. Hey, you need to be aware of how long you can fast. But there's not one of us who couldn't go a day. You got some problems, you got some burdens, you need some strength, maybe you need to fast. Amen. Don't pop into Kearns and have their chocolate tiramisu and all that stuff. Amen. Take a break. And instead of spending the time eating, spend the same amount of time you spend in front of that plate. Get in front of your Bible and get on your face before God and pray over that burden you're carrying. Amen. You will find strength in fasting. It is a Christian's secret weapon. One more. Psalm 71. This is the last one. Psalm 71. Spiritual strength comes by finishing. Psalm 71:18. Psalm 71:18. Now when I am old and gray-headed, I'm not there yet, but I'm getting close, amen, but listen to the words. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Now he's not worried about God forsaking him, he's talking about dying. He says, don't do it until I have showed thy, what's the word? Unto this generation. They don't know where strength comes from. They don't know the strength of God. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Here is the challenge for you to learn that spiritual strength comes by finishing. What am I talking about? Staying faithful in your Christian life. The next generation needs to meet some faithful Christians. Amen. I'm sick and tired of seeing people saved, even seeing them baptized, starting discipleship and then quitting. There is no strength in quitting. Amen? There's not a single bit of strength given to a quitter. That's the most worthless, measly, wimpy type of life to live. And it's in Christians. And if we want to be strong, you'll find that in a runner who finishes the race. Not the runner. Not every runner wins the race, amen? But bless God, there's strength to the finisher of a race. Let us run our race with patience. We don't have to all be rocket scientists and the fastest and the brightest, but we do need to finish, amen? And what the next generation needs to see is a bunch of old folks who've been faithful ever since the day they got saved. That every time they fell, they got up again. Every time they got discouraged, they got re-encouraged, amen? We need to say, Lord, don't let me die until I've shown the next generation that there's strength in finishing. Amen. That's what David was praying there. There's no strength to the quitter. Only those who keep running. Only those who keep trusting. Only those who keep praying. Only those who keep experiencing God's grace on a daily, monthly, and yearly basis will find strength from on high. I mean, you know, somebody, we're praying for Joseph's wife. Keep praying for her to get saved. We're praying for folks to get a job in here. Keep praying for them to get the job. We're praying and we've seen answers to prayer, but there are some things. We've been praying for some miracles, and guess what? God answers faithful prayers, not just flippant prayers. Amen? We need to prove that there's strength when you run the whole race. There's not a runner. There's not an athlete who will tell you, yeah, just run 100 meters real quick and then go and have a cup of coffee. No. You run that race, and the next day you run it again, and the next day you run it again, and again, and then when it comes time that the real race hits, you're strong. Amen? Amen. We got too many quitters. Our children need to know that we have experienced God's blessings and enablement. Did you know the previous generation, they put men on the moon? Did you know the previous generation, they have built great cities? Our parents and grandparents have done great things. They fought two world wars. They fought against simultaneously two world empires, Japan and Germany. The previous generations were pretty mighty, amen? They developed incredible technologies. But here's the truth. They forgot God. They passed on to us big cities. They passed on to us big cars, fancy cars. They passed on to us computer technology. They passed on to us physical freedom in the Western world. Amen, amen. But they forgot to teach this generation about the strength that's in God. And so what do we got? We have a damned world, man. We have a generation that doesn't just not know God, but they hate God. We need to pass on a realization the strength comes from walking with God, and we're proof of it. We can't just talk about it. We need to live it. Folks, let's finish what we start by faith. You got saved by faith, amen? You're going to finish by faith, amen? Let's show the generation to come God's strength and that His way is best. You sang that song, let Him have His way with thee. Because His way is best. Just by way of application and conclusion, there is an uncommon power available to every believer in this room, given to us through the Holy Spirit. We have looked at where we get our spiritual strength. I talked briefly about what we can do, but I thought this morning I would tell you where our strength comes from. Next week I'll talk to you how to apply that strength, how to move mountains, and even remove them. It's not connected with our muscles. It's not associated with our health or our money or our abilities. It is a strength in the inner man, a spiritual strength. It is a strength to speak up in the midst of opposition. It is a strength that enables us to support and to carry other people's burdens. It is a strength to stay faithful against the flow and against popularity. It is a strength to stay free from sin's guilt and power, praise God. And it's a strength even to sing and to praise God when everything else has fallen apart and you want to cry. Uncommon faith is believing that we can receive strength when we're weak. And that we can be instruments of that strength when those around us are in need. If you're a Christian, you're stronger than you think you are. And that's not positive self-help gobbledygook, psychobabble. You are stronger than you think you are. With the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, you need to start tapping into the spiritual strength. The world says, look inward. No. I need strength inwardly, but I look upward. Amen. How does a person get such strength? It comes by faith. It begins by faith. And if you have never once yet cried out and said, God, all of my faith has been religious faith. It's never been childlike faith in just the Lord Jesus. I had a person call me last night. And just, I guess he phoned you and then you gave him the number. And I mean all to pieces. He said, I talked many years ago to my priest and I told him a problem going on in my life. And the priest just looked through the confessional box and says, you're going to hell and there's no help for you. He never went back to church. I said, there's hope for you, guy. We talked for 20 minutes, went through it all. There's a strength he's never known. There's a Savior he's never known. Now, he was drunk. I don't know if he remembers the conversation. But he was looking for help, amen. And folks, if you have been struggling, if you have never known the work of Jesus Christ in your life, if He's never saved your soul, I'm not just saying, oh, you prayed a prayer, but will you cry out and say, Lord, I'm a mess and I'm lost and I'm going to hell. I know I deserve it. Well, if you'd like to get a refuge, if you'd like to get a Savior, His name is Jesus. And He's just waiting for you to call. There's no fancy prayer to call. You just got to be willing to drop your religion, drop your righteousness, drop your best efforts, drop your prayers, and just cry. Have mercy on me, a sinner, and save my lost soul. That'll work. That'll work. It's not in any prayer book. Did you notice that? But it's written in your heart, and you know it. And you need to pray it today. And if you do, it'll work. You'll find an inner man regenerated. Born again. That's what you need. And Christian, that same faith that resurrected your soul, it'll keep you alive, and it'll give you strength day after day if you do it by faith. It'll come by fellowship. Don't you tell me you're too busy tonight to be in church. Don't you tell me. Not unless you're working for the Garda or you got an operation to be involved in. Amen. You are not too busy to be here. It'll come by feasting on this book. Guess what we do every time we're in church? We just have a good meal. Amen. I hope you got enough today. Feast on that book. It'll come by freedom. It'll come by having a clear conscience. Getting to where there's some things that you put behind you and you never look back. It'll come by fasting. You say, Brother Craig, I got a problem. All right, maybe we need to fast. Maybe the two of us need to pray. Maybe there's somebody in this room who you can just trust in. You can say, I'm having a struggle with this thing. And the two of you just fast and break that bondage. Amen. It'll come by finishing. It'll come by starting and finishing by God's grace. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. With an uplifted hand, I want nobody looking around. I want you to say, Brother Craig, I am struggling with my own personal relationship with God. I don't know that I am His child. I thought I was. I've been baptized. I've gone through everything, but I never have known that strength on an inner man. My soul is like dead, dried up. I've never known any of that you've talked to me about, and I've never lived by faith. I don't know what it means to be born again. Would you pray for me? Just put your hand up, put it down. If somebody in this room has been trusting the religion and not trusting Jesus Christ alone, maybe just put your hand up, put it down. I'd like to pray for you. There's one. Anybody else have the courage to ask for prayer? I mean, what kind of courage does that take? Two. Anybody else? Three. Somebody else saying, I'm not sure I'm saved. Four. I'm not sure I'm saved. There's plenty to pray about, but this is most important. I'm going to pray for you. Anybody else in this room say, I'm not sure I'm God's child. And I didn't know that it was so easy to become one. Well, let me tell you. When we were without strength, here's your word, Christ died for the ungodly. Aren't those sweet words? He didn't die for the perfect, because there aren't any. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when you admit you're lost, and when you admit, yeah, I'm ungodly, Jesus Christ is waiting to come into your heart if you just open the door and say, God, have mercy on my lost soul. There's four of you here this morning. You can pray that right now and say, God, I'm in need of Jesus. I'm in need of Him being my Savior. I'm not looking for a church to save me. I'm not looking for a priest or a pastor. I'm looking for Jesus. Would you ask Him right now to come into your heart and save you? You can do that right now. In the stillness and the quiet of this thing, there's no special place to go except to God. Would you do that? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just cry out, God, I know I'm lost. Would you save my soul? I know I'm lost. Father, you love sinners. Please save me. I don't want to just be saved from hell too. I want to live differently. I want to know what it means to live stronger than constantly being defeated by sin. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, nobody looking around, just put your hand up, back up again and back down. Say, I prayed that prayer. I asked Jesus to save my soul. Does anybody do that? Anybody? There's one. Two. Amen. Three. All right. Now, I know sometimes we want to pray it again and again and again. Let me ask you this. Maybe there's plenty here for you, Christian. You say, you know what? Probably you, if you got that machine out and looked at my soul, it is all shriveled up. I've had too many things between me and God, between me and His Word, between me and church, and I let everything stop me from growing and getting strong. And you got me today, Pastor. I'm going to get stronger. You laid it out. You put out the schedule. You put out the plan. I need to start obeying it, living it. Amen. Well, let's commit that with a. Let's make a commitment to the Lord right now, Father. There's been some honesty here today. Some folks saying, "I'm not sure I'm saved." There have been some people who've actually admitted they needed you and you alone. Lord, when we're through with this service and after we've sang and prayed, anybody in this room, Lord, that was lost but now is found, was blind but now they see, please give them comfort and courage. I want to talk to them afterwards. I want to encourage them. Answer any questions. If there's somebody still struggling and they're holding on to their religion, let them know they're going to hell. Their religion never did anything for them. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can save a lost soul. Only Jesus can be their strength, their refuge and strength. But they need to get Him. They need to get Him in their life. And He's knocking at the door of their heart. He wants in, but they got to open the door. They got to let Him in. They got to let Him be Lord. Will they do that? Lord, just encourage them. Let us settle it today. And for the Christian, Lord, I pray for every Christian in this room. We need this strength. Life is only getting harder. The world is getting darker. And we're not going to run scared. No. We're going to shine. We're going to find the strength to to sing when we want to cry. We're going to overwhelm the evil with good. Or we're going to do the opposite of what the world says do. We're going to follow Jesus. Strength in the inner man. Thank you for offering it. We take it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's grab our hymnal and we'll sing that song. I surrender all. Number 394, we sing it often. I don't think it ever gets worn out. I surrender all. Sing with me. The end of it's at the top of the next page. Again, I'm going to ask that you sing it as a prayer. You're just saying, Lord, I'm getting tired of living on my own strength because it gives out too quickly. Gives out way too quickly. I surrender all. I'm starting over, Lord, but this time I'm getting your strength. And this week I'm living by faith. I'm not putting anything between me and your Bible, not between me and your and the believers and the Christians in this room. Not going to allow anything to come between. There are things you're going to have to do. Yeah, but you're going to need to prioritize. We gave you plenty to work on. And Christian, aren't you glad He takes us as we are?
Amen.
Let's sing. Weak, infirm, but my grace is made perfect in your weakness. Amen. My strength. 394. Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. Second now. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me now. I surrender. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. That's good now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Here's the fourth. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. What a pitiful thing to give. Amen. But it means everything to Him. It means everything to Him. Fill me with Thy love and... Wow. And let Thy blessings follow me. You know, it's funny. You give Him what little you have and He gives all that He has. Amen. That's an unfair exchange, isn't it? But wouldn't you like it? Let's sing that last one. Oh, to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. And again, I ask you, if the Lord's dealt with your heart, seal it. I want you to come talk to me. This is the most important decisions you'll ever make. How are you going to live your life? Who are you going to trust for all eternity? Who are you going to trust? You can't trust me. Can't trust T-shirt. Can't trust the doctor. Not with your soul. You better trust Jesus. Better give Him everything you are. Now, if you settled a score with God, if you dealt with the Lord this morning, don't you forget it. And if you ask Jesus to save your soul this morning, I want to talk to you. I'd like you to have the courage. Listen, the Lord will give you strength and encouragement. I want you to come talk to me when we're finished up. Don't you dare be embarrassed. One of the verses says, "He that believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Amen. No reason at all to be ashamed. Why don't you talk to me? Let's settle this and let's enjoy it. Let's rejoice. And I'll see you back tonight. Nico in the back, would you close us in prayer?
Amen.
Please.